Today's daf is Ma'ikot daf Yud Aleph, and we are 10 lines from the bottom of daf Yud Amid Beis, V'Omar Rav. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema, V'Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, Avadia Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devorah, Devoro Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Avram Ben Gittel Edel, Sarah Nechama Bas Rus Malka, Rafalka Has Ben Fega, Baruch Ben Rachel, Chaya Malka Bas Batsheva, Pinya Gittel Bas Rachel Shendel, Meira Chava Bas Shoshana, and Esther Kreindel Bas Devora. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Doiv Beryl Ben Rabbi Yaakov David. So the topic of the daf is what the topic of the daf has been from the beginning of the Masechta, and that is the laws of Chol HaMoed, specifically the law that states that one is not allowed to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed, major Machlokes Rishonim, whether that Isser is an Issa Deiraisa or an Issa Derabanan. But one thing is clear is that Masor and Hakasav Lechachamim, that although there's an Isser to do Malacha, but there are times that one can do Malacha. Mishnah Berurah in the beginning of Simen Tav Kuf Lamed crystallizes the exceptions to the rule into five categories. The Daffin that we've learned up until this point very much have been discussing some of those exceptions and limitations to those exceptions. Today's daf is going to pick up on that note. V'amar Rava. Rava said, Pragmatia kol shehu aser. You're not allowed to do geschäft. You're not allowed to do business on Chol HaMoed. You can't buy things. You can't sell things. Pragmatia is aser on Chol HaMoed. I'm Rabbi Yosi Bar Abin. Rabbi Yosi Bar Abin said, U'betavar ha'avin mutter. If, however, this is going to cause you to lose money, meaning not doing business is going to result in a davara of it, then the halach is it's mutter. Ravina, the Gemara says, Havaliyahu iska, davin mizdavin beshita alfi. He had an iska, he had a business that was worth 6,000 something. Shail is vuni basachul demayad, and he had an opportunity to sell it on Chol HaMoed. He decided he's not going to. So he waits until after yontif, vizavne betresa alfi. And this iska that he had went up in value. It didn't just go up in value, it appreciated 100% in value. So this iskaz that was worth 6,000, fill in the blank, was now worth 12,000. So you see this bracha by not doing business on Chol HaMoed. Ravina have a mask zuzi bibnei akra de shanvasa. Ravina was a creditor. He had loaned people money, and these people that he had loaned money to, so they lived in Akra de Shanvasa. This is a place. Also, the Kami de Rav Ashi. So he went up to Rav Ashi, and he told Rav Ashi, I've been chasing these people money. I've been sending collection agencies after them. I've had zero success. Right now, they're home. It's Chol HaMoed. My understanding is that there's an opportunity for me to be able to go get money that they owe me. Can I go or can I not know? So he said, Ma'u l'mezalo idna alai. Amalezi, he told him, Kiv the idna hu de meshkachaslu. Being that right now they're available, and b'yoy me'achrini loy meshkachaslu, but on another day it may be difficult to track them down. Ki prakmatya ha'aved dovi. It has a din of prakmatya, which is a dover ha'aved, v'shari, and he allowed him to do it. So we know Ravina is one of the great Amiram in Shas. Ravina, together with Rav Ashi, they were the authors of the Talmud Bavli, and we have two Gemaras here that talk about Ravina in the context of being a Soicher. Either way, the Chiddush that we're saying is that even though really it's Aser to do Pragmatia on Chol HaMoed, but to the extent that it's a Dover of it, if you have an opportunity to do something business-wise now that ordinarily you wouldn't have the opportunity to do, so the halacha is that it would be mutter, and the Gemara told a story, example that brings out this point, and that's with the great Amir Ravina, who was trying to collect money from this group of people. They were very successful in evading him. Chol HaMoed, they were home. He thought he can corner them now, get the money, but it's Yontif, and Pragmatia is Aser, and this seems to feel like Mei Inyan Le Inyan Ba Isa Inyan. He went to the great Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi allowed him to do it. Says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Gabi Avoida Zarki Ai Gavna. You find a similar concept, it's not the same halacha, but a similar concept in the context of Avoida Zarki. So the backdrop to this halacha that we're about to learn actually just came up in the daf recently, and it's Negei, the first Mishnah in Mesechtis Avoida Zarki. So the halacha is that a Yid is not allowed to do business with a pagan, with an Oivet Avoida Zarki, on the day of his Yontif. The reason is because if a Yid's going to do business with this Oivet Avoida Zarki, on that day, he's going to attribute his good fortune to be able to do business to the fact that it's a chaga for him, it's going to cause him to then be meshabeach his avodah zarah, and it's going to come out that the yid was goyrim the oved avodah zarah to be oved avodah zarah, which is a problem on two levels. Number one, lufnei iver lo yisitei mechshol, goy is not allowed to be oved avodah zarah. It's one of the seven mitzvahs bnei noyach. So if that's the case, you're now causing this oved avodah zarah to be oved avodah zarah. And besides, there's a pasuk that says b'shem elihim achem lo yisaskirun, and teaches us that not only can you yourself not be masker the shame of avodah zarah, but you can't cause it to happen either. So this is a very important halacha. It's the first sugya mesachtes avodah zarah. By the way, very, very famous shitas Rabbeinu Tam and avodah zarah that beis aman aleph, where Rabbeinu Tam discussed whether the noitzrim in his days, and really the noitzrim in our days, whether they had a din of oivdei avodah zarah, whether they did not have a din of oivdei avodah zarah. Rabbeinu Tam says that if you're not allowed to do business with oivdei avodah zarah b'yoyim edam, then how do we do business today with the noitzrim? And Rabbeinu Tam was mechadish that the noitzrim do not have a din of avodah zarah. It's based on the fact that the noitzrim believe in Bereshis Bara Elokim, they just also believe in Yeshei HaNoitzri, which in Halacha is considered Shittuf. And Rabbeinu Tam said a Chiddush that even though a Yid is not allowed to believe in Shittuf, but a Ben Noyach, whose Isra Avodah Zarah is Mitzad Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noyach, for him, Shittuf is okay. So if you're going to cause a Noitzri to be Meshabeach and get involved in his Avodah, you're actually not causing him to be Oyved Avodah Zarah. It's a very big Chiddush from Rabbeinu Tam. There's a famous tshuva from the Noida Behuda. In fact, it's one of the most famous tshuvas in Noida Behuda. What's ironic is that that tshuva wasn't even written by the Noida Behuda. It's one of the 70 tshuvas in Noida Behuda Tinyana that was written by the Noida Behuda's son, Rav Shmuel Landau, but we digress. Either way, this is the backdrop to this halacha. And in that context, it says as follows. Holchem li'yirich alakim. You let it go to the shuk of the Oyved Avodah Zarah, b'yoy meidam, on the day of their chag of the Loik. And you're allowed to buy from them behema, animals, avodim, slaves, shvachos, batim, sadois, ukramim. Not only are you allowed to buy these things from them, but the koisev, you're even allowed to write a shtar, umaylaber koyeshalahem, and you're allowed to record this shtar in their courthouses. And the reason is because right now you have an opportunity to go buy this. You don't know if you're going to have the opportunity tomorrow. Not just that, once you buy it, unless you have it recorded properly, there's a good chance that you're going to end up losing it, because now the Oved Avodah Zarah is going to say, the Oved Avodah Zarah, by the way, when you learn the second parak of Masechtas Avodah Zarah, you learn they were chashed on everything. So clearly they're chashed on this, and therefore it's for that reason Chazal allowed you to be matzel miyadam, to take advantage of this opportunity to do something that ordinarily they really forbade you to do. So this is a very big chiddush. You're doing business with the Oved Avodah Zarah b'yom edam. Strike one. You're going and you're recording it berkoy shalahem. Strike two. And afal pikein, we're allowing you to do it. So says the Gemara, it's in a very similar vein. The Rav Ashi told Ravina that even though really I'm not so happy with the fact that you're collecting loans on Chol HaMoed, it's not really something you're supposed to do, but I'm going to allow you to do it. Rav, says the Gemara, shor l'chiyah barashi. Rav allowed chiyah barashi l'migdol uhari b'chul d'mayadi. He allowed him to make nets to catch fish on Chol HaMoed. My Kaima, why did he allow him to do a Maisa Hedyid? Because he felt it was a Maisa Hedyid, and he did a Litzarech Moed, and therefore he said it's okay to do Aval Izli. But then he wanted to make nets to catch birds, and that he said, no, also that you can't do. My Kaima, Maisa Omenu, because that already requires a little more professional work, and a Maisa Omen is something you're not allowed to do, even if it's Litzarech Moed. And that's something that we've seen several times already here in the first parak of Masechtas Ma'akon, one of the exceptions to the rule, or better, one of the exceptions to the exceptions of the rule. I mean, even though sometimes you're allowed to do malacha, but there are sub-exceptions. There are times that you're not allowed to enforce the exception. Maisa Omen is one of those things, and that's this context. Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says, Shari la'ami tanura. So Rabbi Yehuda allowed Ami, who used to make ovens, l'migdol tanuri. He allowed him to make ovens on Chol HaMoed. U'l'rabba bar asfi, and he allowed Rabba bar asfi l'migdol mahulta, to make sieves. Everybody holds that you're not allowed to make an oven, l'katchila, on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara says, like Kasha, can be a moisa. During the summer, you're allowed to. During the winter, you're not allowed to. What's the difference? During the summer, the weather's nice. So if you're going to make an oven, so the oven will be functional immediately. It'll be functional even on Chol HaMoed. However, during the winter, everything is wet and muddy. So if you're going to go make on Chol HaMoed sukkahs during the winter season, an oven, you're not going to be able to use it. So it comes out, it's not really Litzara Chol HaMoed. So when Rabbi Bar Shmuel said, V'shavin shen goydun tano l'katchila, he was talking about on Chol HaMoed Sukkis. When the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda allowed Ami Tanura, to make a Tanur on Chol HaMoed, he was referring to Chol HaMoed Pesach. So before we start the next Mishnah, which is going to continue on this theme, just one important Machloikis Rashi and Tosfos as it relates to the first Gemara that we learned. So the Gemara began, V'amar Rava, Prakmatia Kol Shu Aser. You're not allowed to do business on Chol HaMoed. You can't do Geschäft. Amar Rav Yosi Bar Avin. Rav Yosi Bar Avin qualified this halacha. This is not shocking after learning the first 10 dafin of the Masechta. He said, but davar avin mutter, that in the event it's a davar avin, it's going to be okay. So Rashi, two lines from the bottom, Dibra Maskul, ubedavar avin mutter, explains what this qualification is. And it's kedai to see l'shoinei hazav inside. Says Rashi, ubedavar avin mutter, shem yeloi hefsid, em loya asen aloysa schayra, mutter la saysa. What did Rabbi Yossi Bar Abba mean when he said, when it's a davar avin, you're allowed to do business on Chol HaMoed? He meant to say that if you're not going to do business, you're going to end up having a hefsid, it's going to be fine. But here's the punchline. Avol bechinam, shaloy la harviach asa. But in the event that you're not going to profit at all, in the event that this business that you're doing is neither here nor there, it's bechinam. It's really not going to make a difference. You can sell this thing on Chol HaMoed or you can sell it after Yontif. It's neither here nor there. If that's the case, Aser, it's going to be Aser. And all the Rishonim and the Achronim are Medayik from Rashi, that it seems that Rashi has a new definition of Davar HaAved. Till now, every time we saw the concept of Davar HaAved, we've made a big deal about the fact, because the Gemara did, that Davar HaAved doesn't mean you're going to lose profit. We don't care about you losing profit. Davar HaAved means you're going to lose Keren. You're going to lose principal. So you have a field that right now is worth $1,000. If you don't work the field, after Yontif, it's going to be worth $800. That's a Davar HaAved. If I have a field that's worth $1,000, I have an opportunity to improve it, embellish it, so it'll be worth $1,200. I don't care. That's not called davar avin. A bevasav Rashi in our suya ubit prakmati shari when it's a davar avin says Rashi hefts it. Okay, avu bechinam shaloi larviachasi. You know what it sounds like from Rashi? The only time something's not a davar avin if it's bechinam, if I'm not gonna gain or lose anything. But in the event that I stand to make profit by doing business right now, so that it's not bechinam, in that case it's gonna be mutter. In other words, Rashi's saying clearly that as it relates to the halach of davar avin when it comes to prakmati. Matya, davar avid means not just I stand to lose if I don't do malacha, but I'm going to not make profit. That's enough to allow a person to go do business. Tosfos argues, the last Tosfos on the Amid says clearly not that way. Tosfos says that just like throughout the Masechta, davar avid means you're physically going to lose something. When it comes to matya, it means the same thing. But the question is, what's pshat Rashi? Why would Rashi suddenly here on Daf Yudam and Beis change the definition of davar avid as to what it meant throughout the entire Masechta? And the Mefarshim all explain that the pshat is pasha. Till now, we've been dealing with melachos. So for example, the first mission of the Masechta, Mashkin Beis Hashlachim. If someone's Mashka field, he did a real bona fide malacha. Told of Chayresh, told of Zereya, Machlekes, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. But up until this point, we've been dealing with real malachos. If someone does business, even on Shabbos, it's not over an Issa Dayraisa, V'davir Dover, Divrei Kabbalah, but an Issa Dayraisa, it's not one of the Lamates malachos. The Lamates malachos are very clearly defined. Zereya, Chayresh, Koitzer. It's possible that doing work will involve doing a malacha, involve malacha Dayraisa, but Lav Dafka, a person that buys something or sells something, Nishtav Shabbos Karet, didn't violate an Issa Dayraisa. So really, Prakmati is not a real malacha. So says Rashi, that even though it's true, Rava said prakmatia kol shu aser, but it's not as chomer as doing a real malach on Chol HaMoed. So when it comes to doing a real malach on Chol HaMoed, that's more chomer. Therefore, even though it's mutter b'davar avin, davar avin has to mean that you're physically losing, as opposed to when it comes to doing business, geschäft, that's an issa d'rabbanan. Mekachu memker is asa m'd'rabbanan. It's not asa m'd'raisa. Even on Shabbos and Yontif, kal v'chomer on Chol HaMoed. So if that's the case, it's more kuladig, and because it's more kuladig, we have a more liberal definition of what davar avid is going to mean. A very, very yisoidi Rashi here tucked away on the bottom of Daf Yud Amud Beis. Zok the Mishnah Vayter. Again, more cases related to doing malacha on Chol HaMoed, more cases that the modern man in the 21st century struggles to properly visualize. The yisoidis, as we've mentioned, of course, are lenetzach netzachim, but in terms of just understanding the cases, some of these are a little bit tricky. So says the Mishnah, Oysen Michael Agak, you're allowed to make a makir, you're allowed to make a gate around your roof, on the merpeset. Additionally, you're allowed to make a makir around your merpeset. So this merpeset is of Masechtas Erevin fame. So a lot of the cases in the back end of Masechtas Erevin talk about a case where you have a two-story house, And on top of the first story, there was a gallery. It was like a little bit of a chatzar. That's what the merpeset is. So you're allowed to make a makkah around the roof that's on top of the top floor. And additionally, on top of the merpeset, which is on the top of the first or the second floor. Maisa had. You can only do it if it's a maisa had. Again, this qualification. It's l'tzarech mayit. You have to make a makkah if you don't have it. Vasisa maga l'gagecha. It's a mitzvah d'iraisa. But at the same time, you can't do a maisa omen. That's this qualification that we've seen many times. Shofin es hastokin. If someone has a tanner and there's a crack in the tanner, so you let a close up that crack. Umagila noisa b'magelo. You're allowed to close it with a roller. Biyad v'regel, with your hand, your foot. Avoloi b'mechletzayin, not using a mechletzayin. The Gemara is going to explain. Hatzir v'hatzinor v'hakoyre v'hamano v'hamafteach shenishbo. So these are all different parts of the door. The pivot where the lock goes into, the cross beam, the actual lock, the key. So if any of these things broke, masakta b'moyer, you're allowed to fix it on moyer. Tzarech moyer, you need to have a door. Ubevachli ischaven lasis melachta b'moyer. The only thing you can't do is you can't plan ahead and say, you know something, I know that I have to fix my door. Right now I'm busy. Soon I'm going to have chol moyer. I'm going to have some time. Let me push it off until then. That's not something you're allowed to do. V'chol kvashen. Shuyachol lecho mehem b'moyer kaifshan. Are you allowed to pickle foods on Chol HaMoed? It says the Mishnah, it depends. If the pickling that you do will be completed on Yontif so that you'll be able to eat it on Chol HaMoed, then it's going to be okay. However, if you're going to pickle it in a way where it's not going to be ready to be eaten on Yontif itself, then it's not okay. So pickling in it of itself is a problem. It's unless it'll be ready for Yontif. If it's going to be ready for Yontif, then it's Letzarech Moed. If it's Letzarech Moed, it's going to be okay. If, however, it's not going to be ready, so then it's not Letzarech Moed. If it's not Letzarech Moed, then it's going to be a problem. Incidentally, what's wrong with pickling? The Rishonim talk about this, right? Is that one of the Lamitas Malachas? Why would you think it's not okay? So some say that being that you find in Mesechtes Chulin, in the Sugyas of Basav Achalav and Taruvais, that there's a concept of Kavush is Kimavushal, that when you pickle foods, it's as if you cook the food. So for example, if you would pickle Basav Achalav together, it would have a din of Taruvais Isavahati, you'd run into problems of Taruvais. So it could be being pickling foods is maybe falls into the category of things like that, and therefore it would be considered doing malacha. Now, obviously, the issue over here is that it's chol hamoed, and you're allowed to do malacha seichel nefesh. So the teretz is that being that involves tirchi yaseiros, that's for that reason Chazal didn't want you to do it. But at the very least, it's a malacha. Others bring a raya from here, and this is important, that you maybe really being koivish something is not a malacha, but at the same time, you can't do tirchi yaseiros on chol hamoed, period. And it's true, even if it doesn't involve malacha, but the reality is it involves tirchi yaseiros, and because it involves tirchi yaseiros, it's for that reason it's not going to be okay. So again, we have a whole bunch of dinim in the Mishnah, so let's go through them. The Mishnah began and said, "Oisa maisa legagel merpeset." You're allowed to make a roof around your, or a makkah, a gate around your roof, around your merpeset, but you can only do a maisa hedi, you can't do a maisa umen. It says, "Hechadami maisa hedi." What's a maisa hedi? Rabbi Yosef, I'm Rabbi Yosef, said, "Behutzav adafna, you do it with palm fronds," meaning you don't do a proper gate. It's something, but it's not the real thing. Masisa tana b'raisa said, "Sar b'tzror ve'in etach b'ted." You should line up a bunch of stones and bricks, but you don't put any cement in between them. So like this, again, it's hedi, it's not maisa umen. The Mishnah then said, "Shafen es astokin." So if you have a crack inside your oven, you're allowed to fill that gap. How? So the Mishnah said, "Magilin oisa b'magelo." You can roll it with a roller, biyadu v'rego, with your hand and with your foot. Avoloi b'mechletzayin. Mechletzayin is some fancy utensil, and that's the way, if you hire the best person in the market to come do it for you, he would show up with his mechletzayin, and that's the way he would do it. So the Gemara just struggles to understand. Pashut is one line in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, hashta b'magela amrechar biyad v'rego mibayu. It sounds like the Mishnah is saying that you're allowed to use a magelo, that's a roller, you're allowed to do it with your hand, and you're allowed to do it with your foot. So the Gemara Tain is, if you can use a magelo, which is a little bit maisa umen, certainly you can do it with your hand or your foot. Must be we're missing something. Hachi kamar, says the Gemara. You know what the Mishnah means to say? Shafin es astok, you know, magilo noisa ke ein magelo. You're not allowed to use a roller. But what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to roll it in a way that it's going to look like you use the roller. How then are you rolling it biyad of a regel, with your hand or your foot? Avoloi b'mechletzayim. You can't do it with your hand or with your foot in a way where it's going to look like you used a mechletzayim. So again, what did the Mishnah say? Just going back to the Mishnah. You have a crack in your oven. You want to fill that crack with a little cement, a little something. So shofen es astokin. You could do it. U'magilin oisa B'magela b'yad v'regel, you can use a magela. What you're allowed to use is yad v'regel. You can use your hand and your foot. You could do it in a way where it's going to look like you used a magela. When you use your hand or your foot, you have to make sure you don't do it in a way where it's going to look like you used a machletzayim. So the Mishnah said that if the door broke, so you're allowed to fix it on Chol HaMoed. Now, this doesn't sound like such a chiddush, right? I mean, we've been learning a lot about doing melacha, about, although really you're not allowed to do melacha on Chol HaMoed, but Masr HaKasav LeChachamim, there are times that you're allowed to do it. So, okay, this just seems like an example where it's Letzorech Moed, and as a result, it's going to be okay. But as we're about to see, the Gemara is going to assume that this is a little bit of a bigger chiddush. You know why? Because these melachas, fixing a door, involves hammers, involves clapping. And because when you clap, it makes noise, that in and of itself is maybe a reason that it shouldn't be okay. In fact, the Gemara has a mefurish, a Mishnah elsewhere, a Mishnah in Perek Maisa Sheni from all places, where it says clearly that this is not okay. It says the Gemara, Vermin, I'll ask you a kasha, Ad Yomov. Up until his days. Whose days? We're referring to Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Hayapatish Makabi Yerushalayim. So you were able to clap with a hammer in Yerushalayim on Chol HaMoed. And then Yochanan Kohen Gadol came and he made a takana, and he said that it shouldn't be okay. So says the Gemara, Ad Yom Avin, Mikam De'Elach Loi. It sounds like only up until his times it was mutter. But Mikam De'Elach, after his times, it wasn't mutter anymore. Here you have a Mishnah that was for sure written after the times of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, and it says that it is okay to use these hammers. So the Gemara says a few terutzim. The first terutzim says, like, Kasha kan b'denafchi, kan b'denagri. What kind of artisan is using this keli? Yochanan Kohen Gadol's issue was a nafchi. He had a problem with a blacksmith. A blacksmith deals with metal. When you clap metal, it makes a lot of noise. Our Mishnah is dealing with a door that's made of wood. Who claps on wooden doors? That would be a carpenter. He doesn't make as much noise. So you're right. Yochanan Kohen Gadol made a gzeira, but that was for a lot of noise. Less noise is not such a problem. So Maskel of Rav Chizda said, that sounds a little too vague. It doesn't sound like something the Chachamim would do. You know, because you hear people are going to say, Kala Rabba Asa, Kala Zuta Shari. That's the way you make a takana. When you make a takana, you want to stand a chance that people are going to follow this takana. So what are people going to say? That, oh, the carpenter is mutter, the blacksmith is usher. It's too easy to confuse it to. It's not mistaber that they would have made the takana in such a way. Elam Rav Chizda, I'll answer the question differently. Like Kasha, ha b'magli, ha b'chatzini. If it makes noise, even the carpenter's noise, it's going to be a problem. Our Mishnah is talking about using a saw. A mangle is a saw. And it's a saw that doesn't make any noise. You're not clapping. You're just sawing. And because it doesn't really make a lot of noise, that's why it's going to be mutter. Papa said, Kam koidim gzeira, kam lacha gzeira. It's true there was a gzeira. Who said our Mishnah is referring to after the gzeira of Yochanan Kohen Gadol? Maybe our Mishnah that says it's mutter was before the gzeira of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Rav Ashi said, Ha Rav Yehuda, Ha Rav Yoisi. I have a different mahalach. One Mishnah is going to quote Rav Yehuda, the other Mishnah is Rav Yoisi. Who's Rav Yoisi? The Amr Rav Yitzchak. Who's the one that says that if you're doing malacha on Chol HaMoed, it's a davar of it, you have to do a shinoi, it's not Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yossi holds that you're allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed if it's a davar of it, even without a shinoi. So you see Rabbi Yossi's mekel when it comes to doing malacha on Chol HaMoed, and because Rabbi Yossi's mekel, he's going to allow you to clap even though it's making noise. Amar Ravina said, Kama madlinon ha'idna kavyusa didasha b'chola d'mayada. Who's the person that allows you to fix doors today on Chol HaMoed? Oh, Rabbi Yossi. It's Kama Rabbi Yossi, exactly like we just said. So again, the Gemara the Kasha. The Mishnah says you're allowed to fix a door. Okay, it doesn't sound like such a big chiddush, even though it's makav patish. Baina involves malacha, but we know you're allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed if it's letzayrach. Fixing your door is letzayrach. So it makes perfect sense that this should be mutter. But the Gemara said, no, this is actually a little bit of a chiddush. You know why? Because you're making noise. And there was a takana from Yochanan Kohen Gadol that said that that's not okay. So the Gemara said a whole bunch of terutzim. The last terutz the Gemara said was, Ha Rabbi Yossi. This is Rabbi Yossi, you're right. All the Tanaim would disagree, but Rabbi Yossi agrees. What's the obvious kasha? How could Rabbi Yossi argue with Yochanan Kohen Gadol? If you have a steer between two Mishnayos, okay, Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara does this throughout Shas. But we're saying that it wasn't just a halacha in this Mishnah, Meiser Sheni. There was a takana of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So if there was a takana of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, how would this be okay? So how could Rabbi Yossi go connect Yochanan Kohen Gadol? That's the kasha. Right, Yochanan Kohen Gadol is a descendant of the Hashminah. He lived several hundred years before Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi doesn't have the credentials to argue with this takana of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So Fregin the Rishonim, how could the Gemara say, oh, you're worried about the takon of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Hamani Rabbi Yossi? That's good if you had a Mishnah with a Tana mentioned, but Rabbi Yossi can't go keneged that. So one of the terutzim that the Rishonim say is, it must be Rabbi Yossi held that when Yochanan Kohen Gadol implemented this takana, it never really took root. And this is really a sif katan in a much broader discussion, that there's an idea that if the Chachamim implemented something, even if it made it into a Mishnah, but if it never took off, for whatever reason people were negligent in observing this halach, it doesn't have the koyach of the takana, and therefore Rabbi Yossi has a right several hundred years later to actually put it in writing and to actually say that no worries, this is not a halacha, a mefurish, a mishnah, a mani Rabbi Yossi that goes connected this takana of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. The mishnah said, "Kvashem shu yachal lecha b'moyed koyfshem." So the mishnah then concluded and talked about pickling foods. Are you allowed to pickle foods on chol moed? We discuss like what's even the issue, what's the problem with pickling foods. But either way, the mishnah said sometimes yes, sometimes not. If it's going to have to be pickled for so long that it's not going to be ready on Yontif, then you're doing it Shaloi L'Tzarech Yontif. It's a Terchi Yisari, and I'll let it do it. If, however, it's going to be ready on Yontif, then it's going to be okay. Zok the Gemara, Bedisa Lavoi Kavra. So, the Bedisa, Rashi says, was the name of a Nahar. Lavoi was the name of a place. Kavri are fish. So it feels like it's missing a word or two. But Bedisa Lavoi Kavri, the fish of the Bedisa River, which was in Lavoi, somehow rose to the surface, and word got out that this fish, also kuleyam, everybody went, this is on Chol Moed, tzayit, and they caught the fish, icy kavro, and now everyone's sitting on a whole bunch of fish. And the Gemara says they went to Rav, and they asked Rav, are we allowed to salt this fish? Could we pickle it? Shnarulu Rav, the mimlach minayim. He allowed him to do it. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya told Rav, how could you allow it? Vatanan, the Mishnah says, kvashim shu yachal lecha meyam b'moyed kaifshan, that you're only allowed to pickle, you're only allowed to get involved in preparing food in a way that involves tercha, if you're going to be able to eat it on Chol Moed. Now apparently it was going to be impossible to eat this fish on Chol Moed. So he told him it should be mutter. Amalei, so he told him, kivdim ikara daitadachi lo yisino. He said, these chevra, they didn't know the halachas. They went innocently. They brought home all this fish. Right now, they own fish. Now, if I'm going to tell them they can't salt it, pasti, it's going to end up going back. If that's the case, it's kipragmatia ha'avadavi. It's like pragmatia where it's a dover avadachari, and that's why I allowed them to do it. Some have a different version of what happened. Sharilu Rava, the maisa was, meaning the first version, everyone went, they took the fish, and then afterwards they came and asked the Shaila. In the second version, they actually went to Rava before they went to chop the fish. So before they went to grab the fish, they went to Rava, they said, Rava, we let her catch the fish. So the Gemara says, Rava allowed them. He said, you can be meitzad, you can trap it, mezal, go get it, aisuye, bring it home, mimloch, salt it, amalei abaya. So the same exchange, abaya said, vanan, kvashim, shuyach, lachamayam, koiv, shantan, amalei, so he told them, hani, inami, mesachli, agav, it's it. So you're assuming you're not going to be able to eat it, you will be able to eat it. How so? Apparently, if you press it and you squeeze out all the salt, that would allow you to eat it. So what does it mean? To be mitzitz, right? To squeeze, says Rashi. So if you're going to squeeze out the salt, it's going to be okay. Meaning it's possible to eat it. Meaning that it's possible to eat it, it's going to be okay. And the Gemara says, Kihada Shmuel, Abdulay Shit and Itzitziva Achel. Shmuel, they once prepared for him a very, very salty fish. There was so much salt in the fish, it was very difficult to eat. But what happened was, is they squeezed it 60 times, and then he was able to eat it. Rav Ikvul Bei Reish Kalusa. Rav was once by the Reish Kalusa. Abdulay Shit and Itzitziva. Same story. They squeezed it 60 times. Then he was able to eat it. Rav iktul lebeir bar shaper. Rav was once by bar shaper. Aisul kamei hu kavro. They brought him a fish. Tilsa bishul, a third of it was cooked. Tilsa milch, a third of it was salted. Tilsa tavi, a third of it was broiled. It's a real delicacy. Amar Rav. Rav said, "Amali ada tzayda." I heard from Ada the tzayed. He was someone that used to catch fish. This is what he told me. A few rules. He said, "Kavro." This may sound shocking. A fish. Samach lemisrachei mailei. The best time to eat a fish is right before it spoils. So he says, if you can be mechaven, like really right before its expiration day, right before it's about to go bad, if you can eat it then, that's when it tastes the best. But Amar Rav, Rav said, Amar, I decide, I'll tell you something else, I decide, he told me. He said, kavra, a fish, tavi b'achua, you should broil it together with its brother. So who's the fish's brother? So Rashi says, the salt. Because the fish lives in the ocean, so the salt, and as a result, they're brothers. He said, asuke be avua. What you should do is, you should put it inside water. Water is the father of the fish. Mechel bebre, you should eat it together with its child, the fish sauce, that's what comes out of fish. You should dip it there, and ishti ale avua. And after you finish eating it, you should have a glass of water. Avua is the water. Omer, Rav said, Omer, the tzaido, kavra, tachli vechalba. Fish, cress, and milk. Litoin gufa v'loi litin purya. After you eat or drink any of these things, what you should do is you should put a load, a burden on your guf, meaning do exercise. Don't put a burden on your bed. Don't go lie down. After you finish eating or drinking those things, the best thing to have is water, v'loy shichra, not beer. However, next best option is shichra, beer, v'loy chamra, as opposed to wine. So before we finish the perek, there's one toisvis over here. Again, this is a whole different discussion for a whole nother day, but really this toisvis warrants a lot of attention. And that is the last toisvis in the first perek in Masechtas Moed Kan. So the Gemara says that Rav said, I heard from Adat Zayda, he gave me some advice. This is what he told me. He said, the best time to eat a fish is right before it spoils. Then he told him a few other things. Says Toisvis, Ubizman azeh, Toifsin sakana, the mechel zombach lezerchen. Tais says, don't try this at all. Tais says, even though the Gemara says, eat a fish before it spoils, but Bizman azeh, this is not the way it is. Says Tais, not just that. Rav said that one of the other things Abba Tzaydav told him was, is that after you eat fish, you should drink the fish's father. Who's the father of the fish? The water. Vikam mishti ala avua. That's also not something you're supposed to do today. Don't drink water, says Toisvis, after you eat a fish. Even though the Gemara says it's good, it's not okay. So the Gemara said, Rav heard from Adat Zayda, eat fish before it spoils. Lo nachon. The Gemara said, very good to drink water after you eat fish. Also not nachon. So this is what's going on over here. We know that the Metzias is not like what it says in the Gemara. So Tosfos says, v'shem. It could be nishtanu. Maybe the Metzias changed. K'moya refuah she the Talmud. Just like all the refuahs that you find in the Gemara, she'ena tovus b'zman hazeh, that don't work today. And yet the Gemara talks about it. Must be because it was nishtanu hateva. So Tosfos says in that same vein, it was nishtanu hateva. Oy Tosfos says, I have a plan B. If you're not comfortable with this answer, I can give you another answer. And that is shemen nahara is the bava ma'ilu leitfei. Maybe the water in bava was different, and that water is good to drink after you eat a fish. But Tosfos's first teretz is that nishtanu hateva. Either way, this idea of nishtanu hateva is something that Tosfos mentions in a few different places in Shas. It comes up in a few different contexts. We've done raid bites on all the different refuahs of Chazal and how they apply to Bizman Hazeh. We'll post Be'ezus Hashem one of those raid bites as a related raid bite, but just one Marum Makum that's kedai to mention, and that is there's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch in Yoridei Simin Kuf Tez Zayin that talks about dvarim, things that a person shouldn't do, mipnei ha-sakana. And the Shulchan Aruch gives this very famous disclaimer and says that all the things that are aser, mipnei ha-sakana, you should know, are even more chomer than things that are aser, mishum iser. Listen to the Lashon of the Ramah. V'chein yizor mikol dvarim ha-mevin lidei sakana. All things of sakana are very, very severe. Ki sakanta chamira me'isura. V'ishlochash yoyser l'safik sakana m'l'safik iser. And then the Ramah goes on and he gives examples of things that are awesome yishum sakana. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, in his Agoyis and Shulchan Aruch on this Ramah, says the Ramah mentioned a list of things, basically collecting different Gemaras and Chazals that are awesome yishum sakana, and he mentioned them. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, there's a few that Tosfos left out. I'm going to mention, and this is the first one. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, "Ein lishtois mayim achadogin. You should not drink water after you eat fish." Dahavi sakana, because it's a sakana. I don't know what the minhag ha'olam is bizman hazeh. People are makbid on this or not, but either way, it's a toisvis in my kan daf yud aleph amud aleph. Reb Kiveger already brought it in Shulchan Aruch, so now Reb Kiveger took it from the times of the Bali Toisvis right into the 18th and the 19th century, where Reb Kiveger brings lemaisa this idea not to drink water immediately after you eat fish. And on that note, hadran alach mashkin beis hashlach. So the second parak of Masechtas Moed Katan picks up exactly where the first parak left off, and that is more halacha is related to doing malacha on Chol Hamoed. Zok Tehilge Mishnah. Misha Hafach Ez Esav. Somebody, he was Hafach Ez Esav. So literally what it means is he flipped over his olives. Practically what it means is this person had prepared his olives to be pressed. He wants to press his olives to make olive oil, and he set it all up. He prepared it, and then something happened, and because of that something that happened, he's not able to finish the job. So what happened? It says the Mishnah, V'iru Avel, he became an Avel. An Avel is not allowed to work, just like you're not allowed to work on Chol HaMoed. So all of a sudden he became an Avel, so he can't finish the job. Or an oinus happened, and then Ikur Chasim and Asefer, Rashi says, all of a sudden Yontif came. Now it's Yontif, it's Chol HaMoed, second day is Yontif. So again, he's stuck. He can't finish doing the job. Or he hired workers, they were supposed to do the job before Yontif again, and they didn't do the job. Then Yontif, and then Chol HaMoed, and Yontif. So again, he's stuck. So what should he do? Toyin Kairu Rishayna. He's allowed to press them one time, and leaving until after Yontif, Divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't only have the right to press it once. But Zoylev, you can press it as much as you want. V'goyimah, finish the job. V'goth, and then you can put it in the barrel, seal the barrel, kedar, do what you would always do. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in this case, because of the oinus, we're going to allow, you already prepared the zaysim, if you don't finish the job, it's a dover of it. So we'll allow you to do something, but we're only going to allow you to do the most important thing you need to do, the thing that's going to avoid the greatest hafsid. So the first pressing of the olives, apparently, that's critical. So that's something you want, we allow you to do. But you want to finish the job? Now you're pushing it. Rabbi Yossi said, no, Zoyle v'goymer v'gof kedarke. So let's make a haschala on the Gemara. Pasach ba'avil v'sayim b'moyed. So the Gemara asks Akash on the Mishnah. The Mishnah began, Misha hafach ha-zeisav, the iru. And one of three things happened. Really, one of two things happened. He became an avil, or Yontif came along. And as a result, he can't finish doing the job. So what should he do? Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda said, Toyin koyre rishayna, u'manich l'achar ha-moyed. Rabbi Yossi said, Zayla v'goyim v'gof kedarke. But there's one big word here. Toyin koyre rishayna, u'manich l'achar ha-moyed. It sounds like they're only talking to Tanam about the case where Moyed suddenly came about. It doesn't sound like they're going back to the case of Avil. It's afraid the Gemara, Pasach v'Avil, the Mishnah started off talking about a person that prepared his ace, and that all of a sudden became an Avil. And the Mishnah didn't say what this person's supposed to do. V'sayim only b'moyed. We were only misayim, toyim koyer rishonim anich lachar amoyed. Uzayil v'gayim v'gav kedarki, again amoyed. But we don't know what you're supposed to do. Ba'avelos. Amar Rav Shishabedi Ravidi, Zayisei Meres. You know what you see from here? Achidish niflo. Dvarim amutarim b'moyed. Asurim b'mei evloy. That's something that you're allowed to do amoyed, even though when it comes to chol amoyed. With this anissim alacha, but masra kosva chacham, sometimes you're allowed to do malacha. But Avelos is more chomer than chol amoyed, says the Gemara. Rav Ashi says, no way. Avelos is more chomer than chol amoyed. How could that be? I hold just the opposite. Avelos is less chomer than chol amoyed. And that's exactly why the Mishnah didn't mention Avelos. You know why? You know what the Mishnah means? Loi mi bayu kamar. Loi mi bayu mi bay avloi dimidrabbananu vishari. Because the Mishnah said it's posh to be may Avelos. Where the whole ism alacha for an avil is only an ism drabbanan. So of course it's going to be mutter to do something. El afilu b'mayed. Even mayed. You hear these words? The ism alacha midai raisa. Where the ism alacha is midai raisa. B'makam seda shal rabbanan. It's going to be mutter. So we have a machlokes of Shishabed Ravidi and Ravashi literally from sea to shining sea. Mikatza la katza. Rav Sheish Beit Ravidi said, you want to know why the Mishnah didn't go back to Avil? Because Avil's never allowed to do Malacha. There's no exceptions to the rule when it comes to an Avelos. Rav Ashi says, just the opposite. Because Avelos is Pashit. Once I know Mayid, of course I know Avelos. Why is it Pashit? Because Issach Malacha al-Mayid is an Issa de'Raisa. As opposed to Issa Malacha ba'Avelos is only an Issa de'Rabban. So it sounds like it's a Mefurish Gemara. That Issach Malacha al-Mayid is an Issa de'Raisa. Right? What's going on over here? I thought this is the biggest Machlekes Rishayim ever. So how do we suddenly have a mefurish Gemara? So who mentioned this Gemara? Taisvis, and Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph and Masechtas Chagiga. Taisvis says that L'chayre Nira, it's mashma a little bit from the whole sugya in Chagiga Yud Ches Amud Aleph, three braises, five different makaris, that the Ismalach is this a day raisa. And then Taisvis says, Bechem Mavur, but my God, Daf Yud Aleph on the base. This is the Gemara he was referring to. So how did Taisvis get out of it? Taisvis said, it doesn't mean day raisa, it means but you could see why there would be Rishonim that all that the Issa Malach on Chol HaMoed is an Issa Deiraisa. Sounds pretty mefurish. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavase, the Rav Shisha Brei Ravidi. So the Gemara is giving a Braisa, like Rav Shisha Brei Ravidi, who said what? That even though you're allowed to do Malacha sometimes on Chol HaMoed, but you can never do Malacha Ba'avelos. Now this Braisa that the Gemara is going to bring is going to go until the bottom of the Yomid. We're going to just start the Braisa and then we'll stop abruptly. And Be'ezus Hashem, pick it up tomorrow. So the Gemara says, the Braisa says as follows. Eilu dvarim ha'oisin la'avah. The following are malachas that one is allowed to do for an avil. So we're not talking about the avil doing the malacha, but we're doing the malacha for an avil. So someone's an avil, and he has a job, he has a geshaft. So you're allowed to help him out during his avelos. So the halacha is like this. These are the things you're allowed to do b'mei evle. Zeisav hafuchim, if his zeisav were hafuchim, like our Mishnah, Misha havach ha'zeisav, tayanin loy, you're allowed to go and you're allowed to press it for him. The kadei lakuf, if he has a kad, he has a barrel that needs to be sealed, you can seal it for him. Upishtanu lahalas min amishra. What if he's been soaking flax and it needs to be taken out? You could do that. Vitzamer lahalas min ayira. Or if he has wool that was being dyed in a vat that needs to be removed, that's also okay. Umar bitzin sadeo. You're allowed to water his garden. Remember Rashi said earlier in the Masechta that to be mashka means to do it aggressively. To be marbitz is to do it a little more subtly. At the time, that is not Rabbi Huda says, stay near. You're also allowed to plant a stay near. That's a field that was plowed already. So the assumption is that once it was plowed, at that point, you have to flounce, right? You have to plant. If you don't plant now, so you're going to have a hefset. The sadai medis lepishton. Or if you have a field that's used for pishton, so those fields, once you prepare it for planting, you have to chaparayin. Otherwise, you're going to lose the opportunity. Amalei, they told Rabbi Huda, those last two things, we don't agree with you. What are you worried about? A stay near. Once you plow it, you're going to lose your opportunity. You'll lose the opportunity in the early planting season. But there's always tomorrow. There's always a later season. And like Tizra Pishtan, and as it relates to the field for Pishtan, what are you worried about? You have to take advantage of the opportunity? No, if you're not going to plant Pishtan, Tizra Menachar, you could always use another minute. Rabshim Gamliel said, Zaysim Afuchim, if your Zaysim are flipped over, the intro Numan Elohu, and you're the only man in town, you're the only person that actually knows how to do it. Meaning the other himself, Rachmana Lutzlan, he's the only guy that knows how to do it. Or if what happens if kadei lagav, his kad needed to be silver, inch on the he was the only one that knew how to do it. Pishtani lahalas mena mishra, he had to remove his flax from the place that it was soaking. Vitzamer lahalas mena yoyra, or he had to take his wool out of the vat, inch on the mena lahu. Hareze yase bitzina. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says even the avos allowed to do it. Bitzina, yes, okay. No, Rav Shimon Gamliel added to that. He said, "Hayu umen l'rabim." Let's say this person, the avel, is the umen for the rabbin. He's the person that everybody in the town goes to. Vesaper, he's the barber, balon, he runs the bathhouse, the rabbin. Vigi, esaregel, now it's yontif, ve'inchon, umen alohu, it's the busy season, and everybody needs him. Hareza yasa, he's allowed to work. And this is where we'll stop. It's chiddush. I mean, a novel's not allowed to work. But we allow him to work. And the reason we allow him to work is because he's not really working for himself. He's working to facilitate the rabbin. Now, just to tie the Gemara up, temporarily, before we open it up again tomorrow, and that is why we bring this price. So Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Shishi Brei Ravidi, because Rav Shishi Brei Ravidi said that when the Mishnah says Misha Hafach Zesav the Iru Avel, and then it didn't really say whether he's allowed to do malacha, not allowed to do malacha. So Rav Shishi Brei Ravidi said that really he's not allowed to do malacha. He taka can't do it. It's mafurish in this brisa, because what did the brisa say? The brisa said clearly that elu dvarim ha'oisin le'avel. These are things you could do for an avel. Zeisav afuchin toyanin loy. Misha hafach zeisav, he can't do it himself. We do it for him. So zeisay meris, it's pretty mafurish that the avel himself can't do it, which was Rav Shishi Brei the Rav Idi said in our mishnah. So yesterday, we let a lot of raid on the table. We got a shtickle distracted at the end of the week. Baruch Hashem, with tefillin achal amayid, and Mishnah Yoimi, etc., etc. And really, we glossed over some festa dafen. So just to go back, this is Sechdes Maikon has been a muktam umma ucher, as far as the raid goes. So just to go back to daf chesam days and daf tesam aleph, really, one of the very, very important sugyas in the world of raid, and that is the sugya of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. So the Mishnah said, Ein Noisim Noshem B'Moy. Now let's get married in Chol HaMoed. The Gemara gave four reasons why. The first reason the Gemara said was, Lefi She'ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. On Yontif, you have to be B'Simcha, but you have to be B'Simcha Yontif. If a person's going to get married, he's certainly going to be B'Simcha, but he's going to be B'Simcha Sishtoy. And you can't be Ma'arv the two Simchas. This is a Chi of Simcha, that's a Chi of Simcha. Ve'ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. And the Gemara said, Ude'ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha Minol. What's the Makar? How do you know that that's the case? That Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. And the Gemara said, the Makar is from Shloimeh HaMelech. The Pasuk says that Shloimeh HaMelech finished building the Beis HaMikdash in Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. However, he pushed off the Chanukah Sabayis to Chodesh Tishrei. He had a Cheshvan, he wanted it to be in Chodesh Tishrei. Now, when in Chodesh Tishrei did he do it? He did it during the 7 days prior to Sukkot. So it was a 7-day celebration. It began on Ches Tishrei and it ended on Yud Dalet Tishrei. It was Ches, Tes, Yud, Yud Alef, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet. And they went from there into 7 days of Sukkot. Arba, so Yom, there were 14 days of Yontif. And the Gemara said that why did Shloimeh HaMelech not just push it off all the way to Sukkot? It would have made a lot of sense that the 7 days of Sukkot, which are days of Simcha, let them also be the days of Simcha for Chanukah Sabayis. Oh, must be, says the Gemara, that Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. And the Gemara even proved it from the Pasuk. But either way, the Makar to Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha is learned out from Shlomo HaMelech. Now, the Gemara said that Agav, what emerges is that really what Shlomo HaMelech did was a very, very big chiddush. Because if the 7 days of Chanukah Sabayis were Ches, Tes, Yud, Yud, Alef, Yubez, Yud, Gimel, Yodalit of Tishrei, it emerges that there was Chanukah Sabayis, there was a Yontif on Yud Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. Now, Yom Kippur is a day that a Yid is supposed to fast. If there was a Chanukah Sabayis, then not only were they bringing special karbonos, but they were eating and they were drinking. And the Gemara says it was really a big chiddush. Shlomo HaMelech based his chiddush on a Kal V'chomer, stating that they were very worried until a Baskel came and said, Kulchem Mezumanim L'chayoyil Maba. Pashup Shat, the Baskel meant to say that it was a good Kal V'chomer. We spoke out from the Rogachava, who said that the Baskel wasn't that it was a good Kal V'chomer. It was a bad Kal V'chomer. But the Yidin brought a Parhelim David Shal Tzibur, and they got Kapara for the Parhelim David Shal Tzibur. But either way, the Yidin violated Yom Kippur on that year. So here's the question. Shlomo HaMelech had made a Kal V'chomer. He had a Cheshbon that it's okay to eat and drink on Yom Kippur because of Chanukah Sabayis. The Gemara said he had a three-pronged Kal V'chomer. We went into it in great detail when we learned the Gemara together on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. But why did he do that L'katchila? It still seems like a bidyeva. If Shlomo HaMelech is looking at his calendar, right? He's poking around, trying to see, you know, what the next year looks like. What does Chodesh Tishrei look like? Ches, Tes, Yud, Yud, Aleph, Yud, Beis, Yud, Gimel, Yud, Dalet. L'chura, Yud Tishrei is not a l'katchila begin. Okay, so he has a cheshbon. He didn't have to do it that day. The melacha was nigmar already in Chodesh Cheshvan. He literally pushed it off 11 months to what? To violate Yom Kippur? So why would he have done it l'katchila? It's a bombekasha that needs to be asked and certainly needs to be answered. So years ago, I saw an incredible Maramakim in the Sefer Zera Avram. So just a little bit of background. The Zera Avram was written by Hagoyin HaGadol, Rabbi Avram Luftever. Rabbi Avram Luftever was a Varshav Yid. He was also the Edom of Hagoyin HaGadol, Rabbi Meir Simcha Medvinsk. The Or Sameach had one daughter, he had one child. He had one daughter, and his daughter was married to a Yid, Rabbi Avram Luftever. The original Sefer Zera Avram that was printed was actually fascinating. I don't know of another Sefer like this. The Sefer is an exchange. It's back and forth between Rabbi Avram Luftever, Rabbi Simcha son-in-law, and Rabbi Nachum Zemba, the Varshever Rav. And if you go through the Sefer, the whole Sefer is a back and forth. So one simon, it's Rabbi Avram Luftever, and then the next simon, Rabbi Nachum Zemba is answering. And then Rabbi Avram Luftever is going back. So if you ever wanted to be a fly on the wall, to overhear and see and witness an exchange between two great Goyim, literally Varfin Kola Teirukula Regalachas, the Sefer Zera Avram. It's literally, it's back and forth. One simon, Rabbi Avram Luftever is talking there. I don't agree with this, I don't agree with that, but this is why I said this, and this is why I said that. It's fascinating. Either way, that's the Sefer Zera Avram that was printed many, many years ago. More recently, somebody put together different ksavim that were found from Rabbi Avram Luftever. And the Sefer is also called Zera Avram. This is a newer Sefer. In the beginning of the Sefer, they bring a michtav that Rabbi Simcha wrote to Rabbi Avram Luftever. It's a michtav. It was found in the Gnozim, wherever his Chidush HaTorah were found. And they found a letter that Ramea Simcha wrote to his son-in-law. And the letter is a bunch of bullet points. It's actually 13, if you count them, with different ha'aras that he's telling him on Torah, apparently, that they had exchanged. So, Sif Katan Dalet, Ramea Simcha tells his Edom. He says, Machmadai. Right, Machmadai, there's the Lashonis of Chiba, the way Rameh Simcha talks to his son-in-law. He said, I heard from a Yid, Ramosha David. He told me over Ha'aron your name. This is what he told him. He told him that you, Shtel, that why did Shlomo HaMelech purposely push off the Chanukah HaMishkan, the Chanukah HaBayis for Yom Kippur? I understand he had a Kal V'chomer, but why did you do the Katchila? This Kashna, why did you do the Katchila? So he said like this. He said, because the purpose of Chanukah HaBayis was what? It was to inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash. And now you inaugurate a Beis HaMikdash, you use it. For example, in Kachin, how would they mechanach the Mizbeach? They used the Mizbeach. How would they mechanach the Begadim? They used the Begadim. So there was a din that you had to be mechanach the Beis HaMikdash. You now you mechanach the Beis HaMikdash by using the Beis HaMikdash. But here's the problem. Shlomo HaMelech held that there's one part of the Beis HaMikdash that you could only use one day a year, and that is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So how are we going to be mechanach the Kodesh HaKadoshim? If the objective over here is going to be Chanukah Sabayis, how are you going to be mechanach the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So he purposely pushed it off until Yom Kippur. So like this, they'll be able to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Hakadoshim, and like this, they'll be able to be Mechadach the Kodesh Hakadoshim. This is what Rabbi Avraham Lufthansa said. So Rabbi Meir Simcha told him, Hinei Rav Moshe David, Sipi Meitcha Ha'ara. So Rabbi Simcha said like this, four words. He said, beautiful. But Rabbi Simcha said, I just have to add one knitch. And that is, that the way I heard the Vart said was, is that he had to be mechanech to Aaron. Truth is, he didn't have to be mechanech to Aaron. Because Shlomo Melech never built an Aron. There was one Aron that the Jews had in history. We had two Batim Mikdashim, we had several revisions of the Mishkan, we had this Menorah, that Menorah, but there was only one Aron. The Pasuk says, Vayas Pitzala Les Ha'aron. Rami Simcha says, Meshach Chachma, Vayas Pitzala Les Ha'aron. It's the only one of the Kalim, the Parashat Vayakha, where it says, it's Vayas HaShulchan, Vayas HaMenorah, Vayas Pitzala Les Ha'aron. He says this was a Nevuah, that there would only be one Aron. There would only be the Aron of Pitzala. But either way, it says, Vayas Pitzala Les Ha'aron. That was the only Aron that we had. So the Aron was already Moshe Rabbeinu's Aron. It didn't need Chinuch. So what needed chinuch? Said Rav Meir Simcha, the dvir. So if you remember in Masechtas Yuma, there was a dvir, there was a wall, a very tall, thick wall that separated the kodesh from the kodesh hakodashim during the first Beis Hamikdash. The second Beis Hamikdash, they had the two paroichases. But in the first Beis Hamikdash, there was a dvir. That was a chiddush of Shlomo, and they did the hazois of Yom Kippur on the dvir. The dvir needed chinuch, and the only way the dvir would get chinuch was through the Avodah of Yom Kippur. And that's why it had to be on Yom Kippur. But either way, this is what Rav Meir Simcha came. What came to mind was the famous Goyen. The Goyen that says that Aharon HaKoyen was able to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim not only on Yom Kippur, but Kim Bezois Yaveh Aharon HaKodesh anytime that he did the Avodah on Yom Kippur. And this raid, did the Goyen only mean Aharon, or was it any Kohen Gadol? Now, if it was any Kohen Gadol, then you wouldn't have had to have done it on Yom Kippur, because you could have had it even on a regular day and let the Kohen Gadol go ahead and do it. But the pash this is that the Goyen meant only Yom Kippur. Rav Meir Simcha Meshach Chachman Parshas Achrimos, he brings this raid from the Vilna Goyen, and he says Mefurish that the Goyen only meant Yom Kippur. So Lashita Sai, for sure, it have to have been in Yom Kippur. But this was the Divrei Pi Chacham Chaim from Rabbi Avram Luftever, Sefsois of David Vaisbekever, who said such a beautiful pshat that why did they push it off until Yom Kippur? They pushed it off until Yom Kippur because they wanted to be Mechanach every single square foot of the Beis Hamikdash. And the only way for them to have been able to accomplish that was if they did it on Yom Kippur, because only on Yom Kippur were they able to be mechanech the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or maybe the Dvir, like Rav Meir Simcha said. But either way, this is the first Ara. The second Ara is that the Mishnah said, Ein noisim nashim b'mayid. You're not allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed. And the reason is, four reasons, but the reason we've been focusing on is Lefisha Ein Ma'arvin Simcha b'Simcha. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tov Reish Tzadik Vav. This is in Hilchas Megillah. It's Sif Katan Ches says, Mutter Lisa Isha B'Purim. Even though you're not allowed to get married on Yontif, you're not allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed, but you're allowed to get married on Purim. Now the makar to this halacha is a tshuva sarajba. The Rajba was asked in a tshuva, are you allowed to get married on Purim? And the Rajba said, yes, you're allowed to get married on Purim. And he made a cheshmin. He said, you know, you're not allowed to get married on Shabbos, you're not allowed to get married on Yontif, you can't even get married on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara gives four reasons. And the Rajba said, oh, pilpul. And he came out that you're allowed to get married on Purim, and that's what's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham discusses this Rajba, and the Magen Avraham comes out that the Rajba Tim is very, very shver. And he says that, based on the reason that the Gemara gave, Lefisha Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, and it's not just a reason, but it would certainly seem to be the primary reason. So what would emerge is Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, and therefore, if that's a reason not to be able to get married on Chol HaMoed, that should also be a reason not to be able to get married on Purim. So the Magen Avraham argues with the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Magen Avraham says that thou shall not get married on Purim. Why? Because at the end of the day, you don't get married on Chol HaMoed, Lefisha Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, and just like there's a cheshbon of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha on Chol HaMoed, so too there's an Indian of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha on Purim. But the truth is that the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe says a svara on this halacha, right here in Simen Tov Reish Tzadik Vav, that answers the kasha of the Magen Avraham. The Darkei Moshe says a svara that you would expect to hear from Reb Chaim Briska, a very achreinish svara. He said like this. Said the Darkei Moshe that it's true, there's a halacha of simcha on Purim, Just like there's a halacha of Simcha on Yontif. But it says the halacha and the mitzvah of Simcha on Purim is fundamentally different than the mitzvah of Simcha on Yontif. The mitzvah of Simcha on Yontif is v'samachto b'chagecha. You have to be b'simcha with the Yontif. That's what the mitzvah Simcha is. The mitzvah Simcha is be b'simcha with the Yontif. Said the Ramah, there's a mitzvah to be b'simcha on Purim. But the mitzvah to be b'simcha on Purim is not to be b'simcha with the Yontif. The mitzvah is just be happy. Be b'simcha. So says the Ramah, on Yontif, on Chol HaMoed, where the mitzvah simcha is to be b'simcha with the Moed. So if you're going to get married, it's true it's going to enhance your simcha. But what kind of simcha is that going to be? It's going to be simchas nesuim. It's going to be simchas ishus. So now you're taking simchas ishus, you're using it to be ma'arev simchas Moed, ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. It's for that reason it's not going to be okay. Because what do you mean? Oh, why should I get married? It's going to enhance my simcha. I'm going to be so much happier. It's true. But b'simchas ishtoi. You're not supposed to be b'simchas ishta. You're supposed to be b'simchas achag. V'samachta b'chagecha. Abizokht Ramon Darki Moshe. On Purim, all it says is that it's supposed to be mei simcha. You're just supposed to be happy. It doesn't say what kind of simcha. Just be b'simcha. So Adarav, if there's something you can do to enhance that simcha, enhance it. And therefore, says the Ramah, for sure, nois and noshem b'purim. And that's the makar. So the yisoid of nois and noshem b'purim is because it's fundamentally different, the mitzvah simcha on Yontif versus the mitzvah simcha on Purim. On Yontif, the mitzvah is samachta b'chagecha. So any other simcha that I'm going to have is going to take away from the simcha Yontif. Ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. As opposed to on Purim, where the mitzvah is just to be b'simcha. So mean that the mitzvah is just to be b'simcha. So it's for that reason, this is going to be different. What this reminded me of was an emek bracha. The emek bracha is on page Kuf Chavav. He's talking about Sudas Purim. He brings that he heard from Moiri v'Rabbi, Hagai v'Debris. So the Emek Bracha was a Talmud Muvuk of the Brisker Rav. So he said he heard from the Brisker Rav that the Brisker Rav once said that what's pshat that on Purim, Chayiv inish l'psume b'puria adalo yada ben arur hamad baruch martchai. You don't find that in any other area in Halacha, right? You think? You just don't, that's not something you find anywhere. On Purim, there's such an idea. Chayiv inish l'psume b'puria adalo yada. So he said, what's the pshat? So Maran Agris said asai. He said that on Yontif, there's a mitzvah to be b'simcha. Ain't simcha el b'yayin. But what's the din yayin? What's the role that wine plays? The wine is just a hechetimtza for you to be able to be b'simcha. Meaning the mitzvah is to be b'simcha. Ain't simcha el b'yayin. Memeli, you drink wine. But when you drink wine, you're being mekayim a din simcha. But said the Griz that on Purim, it says in the Megillah, that these days, vayomim o'eler, that you may mishta v'simcha. They're days of simcha, but they're also days of mishta. That means it's a din to drink wine on Purim, not just because it's a echetimtza to make you v'simcha, and because ain't simcha el b'yayin, because that you may mishta, because the mitzvah is hayoy mishtia. So the Rav said that when the mitzvah is simcha, then I just need enough wine to be v'simcha. So that's the mitzvah of Shtiyas Yayin. A Revias Yayin makes you b'simcha. Now you mekayim your mitzvah v'samachta b'chagecha. But on Purim, said the Brisker Rav, the mitzvah is not just to be b'simcha. The mitzvah is also a mitzvah of mishta. Mishta? That's from the Elu Dvarim She'ein Lehem Shir. Not Lamaila, not Lamata. So if that's the case, said Maran Agris. So it's Pasha, that's why there's a din. You drink and you drink and you drink. Adalayada ben Aram and Lamaruch Martchai. Because he's a din mishta. So the Rav said that on Yontif, there's a din simcha. The Shtias Yayin is a hechat timtza. Ain't simcha, el of a yayin. So the male, there's wine. So how much wine do I drink? There's a shir. The shir is as much as I need to be the simcha. As opposed to on Yayin, the Shtias Hayayin is not a hechatimtza. It's a means on in it for itself. It's its own inyan. And because it's its own inyan, because it says Yimei Mishta, so it comes out really, if you put it all together, there's two fundamental nafkaminos between the din simcha on Yontif and the din simcha on Purim. On Yontif, there's a mitzvah v'samachta b'chagecha. What does that mean? There's a mitzvah to be b'simcha, but not just b'simcha. Simcha with the Yontif. And that's why you find Allah of Eimarv and simcha b'simcha. Because if I'm going to do something that's going to make me b'simcha, but it's going to take away from the simcha's Yontif, that in and of itself is going to be a problem. On Purim, there's two nafkaminas. Number one, there's halacha of mishta, which means that there's a need to drink wine in it for itself. It's its own kiyum when you drink wine, because it says you made mishta. And the Rav said, that's why you find chai v'nish l'psum v'b'puria adal ayat. But even in the simcha itself, it's different. Because the simcha is not v'samachta v'chagecha. The mitzvah simcha is merely and simply to be b'simcha. That's the second ha'ara. The third ha'ara is, so on the topic of Ein Ma'arvin, Simcha B'Simcha, the Keren Oira, right here in our sugya, in Masechtas Maikot, asks a bomba kasha. He asks, that what's the pshat We know the Minhag Yisrael is that on the last day of Sukkos, Shmini Atzeres, in Eretz Yisrael, the day after Shmini Atzeres in Chutz La'aretz, we have Simchas Torah. Freita Karanoira says, I don't understand how we could have Simchas Torah. Ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. You have a mitzvah to be b'simcha, v'samachta b'chagecha. You have to be b'simcha with the yontif. Now you're going, and you're going to celebrate Simchas Torah. You're going to be m'sameach b'gamra shal Torah, with the Torah. L'chura, ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. You can tell me because it's a mitzvah. To get married is also a mitzvah. But ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. So l'chura, the Chanukas Habayis of Shlomo HaMelech wasn't a mitzvah, but ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. So just like Shlomo HaMelech couldn't make the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkos, so why do we make Simchas Torah on Sukkos? L'chura, what happened to the halacha of ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha? So just one ha'ara, I think it's pasha, and that is that the Gemara's makar to the halacha of ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha was Shlomo HaMelech. Tosfos, a very important Tosfos that we glossed over, and Daf Ches Amud brings another makar. Tosfos says, "Ubi Yerushalmi darash." The Yerushalmi brought a different makar. It says, "Male shavua zois." So, what's this makar? What is it saying? The Yerushalmi male shavua zois. It's from Pasuk in Parashas Vayetze. Right? We know that Yaakov Avinu worked for 7 years to marry Rachel, and what happened? Vine Leah. He found out that it wasn't Rachel; it was really Leah. So Yaakov came with tainis. Vayeim alavon lo yiyasa came bim kamein olasis atzir lefnei abechira. And then he says, "You know what? Here's the deal. Wait a week. After a week, I'll let you marry Rachel. And then, on credit, you should go work for me another 7 years. And then you'll be able to marry Rachel as well. Mali shavu azois, v'nitnu l'cho gam azois. And then afterwards, I'll allow you to marry Rachel." The Pasuk says, "Vayas Yaakov came, vayamali shavu azois, vayitein lo yes Rachel bitoy loy li'isha." Says the Yerushalmi, why did Yaakov Avinu wait a week? He just married Leah. Why do you have to wait a week? Get married to Rachel now. What was this mali shavu azois? The Teretz is because he was in the middle of Sheva Brachas Filet. Is the Yerushalmi. He was in the middle of Sheva Brachas. And he couldn't marry Rachel in the middle of Sheva Brachas. So he had to wait a week. Once he waited a week, now already he's outside of Sheva Brachas. Now he can go, and now he can marry Rachel. So Tosfos says that even though the Gemara says that the Makar, Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha, is learnt out from Shlomo HaMelech, but there's really another Makar. The other Makar is Malish Fuzais. It's interesting, the Rambam, who you would expect to bring the Bavli's Makar, actually brings the Makar of the Yerushalmi. The Rambam is in Hilchas Ishus, it's Perik Yud, Halacha Yud Gimel. The Rambam over there says, if back in the day, before Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom, where it was feasible to marry more than one wife, so he says, what happens if a person wants to marry more than one wife, and his mamish, he's going to marry them all at the same time. So says the Rambam, Ein Marvin Simcha V'Simcha, so you can't literally marry them at the same time, you have to wait. And then the Rambam says that this idea of Ein Marvin Simcha V'Simcha is true, not only when it comes to marrying multiple wives, but also you can't get married on Chol HaMoed. The fish ain't ma'ar ben simcha b'simcha shenemar malishvu azois v'nitna l'cha gam azois. So the Rambam brings the makar of the Yerushalmi, and he doesn't bring the makar of the Bavli. Magen Mishnah says that even though you would expect the Rambam to bring the Bavli, not the Yerushalmi, but the Rambam had a mahaloch that the Rambam always brought the more pasha the makar, and the Rambam held this is like an offen of makar malishvu azois, and then afterwards, and that's why the Rambam brought this. But either way, there's two sources to Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. We have the Gemara Maikon that the Gemara learns it from Shlomo HaMelech, and then we have the Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi learns it from Mali Shavu Azayis, from Yaakov Avinu with Leah and Rachel. I saw in the Sefer Shailas Tshuva Sisoyrus Tshuva. That was their lawyer Rav Reb Shimon Tzofer, Hashem Yom Kum Dama. He was killed in Auschwitz. So Reb Shimon Tzofer in the Sisoyrus Tshuva, and this is in Chelik Aleph, and it's Simin Kuf Mem Tes. See, he says that Chazal brought two Makaris to the Halach of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, and he says the truth is that it was important for Chazal to bring two Makaris. He says, why? Shlomo HaMelech's Makar, all you see is that if you have two independent Simchos, then the Halacha is Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Yontif is one Simcha V'Samachta B'Chagecha. Chanukah Sabayis is a whole different deal. Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, because they're two completely different Simchas. As opposed to from Malish V'Azois, says the Seder is true, but you see more than that. You know why? Because what was the story with Yaakov? Yaakov's marrying Leah, now he's marrying Rachel. The Simcha of Rachel, the Simcha of Leah, is really the same Simcha. Why is it the same Simcha? They're both Simcha of Ishus. So you would have thought that over there it is Mutter. That's why we need Malish for Zois to teach me that even that's awesome. But says the Sefer Shuvah, it comes out as an afkamina la'alocha from the Talmud of Yerushalmi. Because if all you would have is the Talmud of Bavli, it would come out maybe if it's the same Simcha be mutter. Kamash malon, we need the Yerushalmi that even if it's the same Simcha, so it's going to be awesome. So he says that's why the Rambam brought the Talmud of Yerushalmi, ayin sham. But what emerges is that there's two levels, two madregas of Eimar b'simcha b'simcha. When the simchas are completely different simchas, that's easy. That's Shloima HaMelech. Getting married on Yontif. No shaychas. Simchas Yontif, simchas Ishos. Chanukas Habayis on Yontif. Two completely different simchas. That's poshut. But even Malish Fuazais, even where it's the same simcha, even then it's going to be a problem. But I think it's poshut. That this, that the Seder is Tshuva saying, that you see from the Yerushalmi, that even when it's the same simcha, it's an issue. The only reason it's an issue when it's the same simcha is because at the end of the day, as much as it's the same inyan, Shever Brachas, Shever Brachas, but one is Shever Brachas mit Rachel, and the other one is Shever Brachas mit Leah. This is a Vesimachas Ishtoi with Rachel. This is a Vesimachas Ishtoi with Leah. So because at the end of the day, they're different dinim, even though it's the same Yisoyed of Simcha, it's Simchas Ishtoi, but it's a different wife. And because it's a different wife, therefore it's not the same. But I think it's Pashit, that if the Simcha would be the same Simcha, you're just coming from another angle, I don't think that would be a Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. A Marvin Simcha B'Simcha said Rav Shimon Soif is two levels. Two Simchas, or the same Simcha, but Simchas Rachel and Simchas Leah. What about Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah? I think it's Pasha. We said that the Dargei Moshe and Maron Agriz, they all said that the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif is not just a mitzvah to be b'simcha, but the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif is v'samachta b'chagecha, to be b'simcha with the Yontif. What does it mean to be b'simcha with the Yontif? What does it even mean? It's a medrash. It's a Shir Hashirim Rabbah. It's Parsha Aleph Lamed Beis. We're going to end with this. It's, we say, Zeh Hayoyim Asa Hashem Nogila V'nismecha Boy. Amr Rab Abin, Rab Abin said, Ein anu yoy de mamel esmoyach. What does it mean, Nogil of Nismach HaBoy? What does that mean? In Bayoyim, does it mean, Zeh HaYoyim, Nogil of Nismach HaBoy in the day, be happy in the day? In Bakadosh Baruch Hu. Or should you be happy with Hakadosh Baruch Hu? Bas Shloima. So Shloima Mel came with Pirish and he explained, Nogil of Nismach HaBach. What does Bach mean? Bakadosh Baruch Hu. Bach be Yishuascha. Bach b'toyrascha. Bach b'yirascha. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Bach is Gematria 22. B'chof b'yis oisir shekosav tolonu b'toyro. B'yishnayim kof esrim harei Bach. The mitzvah of Simchas Yontif is Nogila v'nismacha Bach. What does Bach mean? Bach means b'kadosh baruch hu. Bach means in the Torah. V'samachta v'chagecha does not mean be b'simcha because it's Yontif, be b'simcha with the day. It means be b'simcha with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the same medrash that says b'simcha with HaKadosh Baruch Hu says bach b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bach b'Teirascha. So which one is it? Is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu or is it the Torah? The Torah says pashet. Every child knows. It's because a reis of a kutcha b'richu chad. It's really one and the same. So simchas yontif is nagila v'nismecha bach. Bach b'hakadosh baruch hu. Simchas haTorah is being besimcha with the Torah, which really is what Simchas Yontif is. Because Simchas Yontif is bach b'hakadosh baruch hu. It's also bach b'teirascha. For that, it doesn't pass. Ein marvin simcha b'simcha. Ein marvin simcha b'simcha. It's Chanukas Habayis and it's Yontif. Ein marvin simcha b'simcha. It's Simchas Ishtoi and it's Simchas Yontif. Ein marvin simcha b'simcha. Even if it's two different Sheva brachas, but one is Rachel and one is Leah. So this is Simchas Ishtoi with Rachel. This is Simchas Ishtoi with Leah. And we need a pasuk for each madrega of Eimar and Simcha v'Simcha. But this is the same Simcha. It's Simcha with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here it's B'Simcha because it's Yontif, and here it's B'Simcha with HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it's Simchas Torah. But at the end of the day, it's the same Metzius of Simcha. You're just coming from another angle. We would need a third Makar for this, which we don't have. And it's for that reason, it's Pashit, it's Meyushav, the Kashi, the Keren Oira. Keren Oira's Kashi was, how could we celebrate Simchas Torah on Sukkis, on Yontif? Isn't that a problem of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha? It's not a problem of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, because when we understand what Simchas Yontif is, it's Nagila V'Nismacha Bach, Zeh Ayoyim, Asa Hashem Nagila V'Nismacha Bai, but Bai is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not today, it's B'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bach B'Tayrascha, Bach B'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Simchas Yontif is Simchas HaTorah. It's being B'Simcha with the Torah. That's exactly what Shmini Atzeres is. So that's exactly what Simchas Torah is. When we have Simchas Torah and we dance around the Torah and we're B'Simcha with the fact Asher Bachar Abonu Mikol HaAmim Ashreinu Matoiv Chalkeinu, we're enhancing Simchas Yontif. That's like Noisim Noshim B'Purim, where you're just enhancing the Simcha. It's the same Simcha and you're enhancing the Simcha, and that's why there's no Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha when it comes to Simchas Torah.